KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
That's right. Here are your hosts for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And you want to give him a mic for a second?
And what, do I have to?
I know you like stealing
away
his mic.
Do I have to?
Yes.
And my name is Rich.
There he is.
All right. That's all you get for now.
We're sharing mics today because it is a full, full house. We've got Josh over on the keyboards there. I like saying that because it sounds like the keyboards, you know.
Josh makes a positive gesture with his hands.
But he's on the laptop talking on the Chatteroo. If you want to chat with us, head over to chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com if that's easier. And there's a live chat room there. Of course, that's only if you're listening live. If you're not listening live, we're probably not going to be there. Also in the studio with us, we've got Danny Baranowski. Am I right?
That's the one.
He's back, and he's brought reinforcements.
Yes,
he did. I'm a two-timer now.
You were only one of the men behind Cannibalt. Cannibalt.
Yeah, I'm Danny's sugar daddy for the most part.
And now we've got this other guy wearing a Game Boy t-shirt who I totally don't even know. What's your name? Adam?
His name is Adam. Atomic.
Yeah. I only just got into the studio like a minute before the show started, so I didn't even get introductions or handshakes or spankings out of the way.
That's how
which
we
is
roll.
Traditional.
We just do it straight up.
Exactly.
Just like that.
So, Adam Atomic.
Yes.
That's not scary at all. All right. Well, we are going to have you, sir, talk to us a little bit later in the show. But first, Ara has all sorts of stuff to talk about. He's been playing wacky games.
I can't wait to tell you guys all about this because I've never been more, I don't know, I've never felt like this experience of being like terrified and intrigued and raped all at the same time.
We all love rape.
And, well, some, okay. You may.
We ask people, what makes a game fun? Do you think this game is fun? Well, it sure did make me feel like I was raped.
Let me explain to you what happened. There's a game that just came out. It's been out in Japan now for a while. It's called Demon's Souls.
We've talked about it several
times. It's a PS3 game, right? We've talked about it. To give you a very quick background, this game is made by From Software, who has a reputation, and I'm talking about them like it's one person because I think it really is. One person who just has this insane, insane desire to just pound you into the ground mercilessly.
I suspect it would be two guys, one doing the coding and the guy with the whip. Make it harder! Harder! Or you don't get your gruel!
That's the guy I'm talking about. Okay, so
the guy with the whip or the coder?
The guy with the whip.
Really? Okay, so he's the minds behind it.
So, yeah. So whoever he is, right, their games... they made the Kingsfield games, which everybody but me hates, apparently, and I love them.
Well, they were also hard, but only because of a complete inability to control them.
No, not at all. In fact, I thought it was... But I'm glad that Adam is smiling and at least nodding his head, because maybe somebody else in the world likes Kingsfield besides me.
No, I hate Kingsfield. I was super in love with Armored Core for a long time.
Okay, so Armored Core... Okay, so... I don't even know if it's the same team
not
or what.
Not made by the
same
guys, probably.
I don't know.
It couldn't
probably.
Be. It's
same
just impossible.
Same developer. I don't know if it's the same team or not. Anyway, so like in the Kingsfield games, right, they had this, I don't know if it was on purpose or what, but they managed to, almost every one of their games, have something within like five steps of you starting out that will kill you right away. Okay? So that is just a brief characterization of what they do. Now, this game, I played it for about 2 hours. I can't get past the first stage.
That's awesome. Okay. Now, how many stages are there?
I don't know.
Okay? That sounds like me in the Hello Kitty
and
game.
It's kind of an RPG-ish, like it's an action RPG-ish type of game, so there's not like necessarily discrete stages, but...
Wait. I learned something today. Let's take a moment and explain. Some people, like Rich, don't know what an action RPG is because they never played Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past.
Oh, okay.
Or other interesting games like
it's
that.
It's an action game with role-playing overtones.
Do you not want to admit it now that we're on the air?
Link to the Past specifically, I have not played more than a few hours.
Okay, we don't have time for this because it's Demon's Souls, okay?
Wait, Rich just let loose his soul today in a group email saying that he'd never played Legend of Zelda: Link to the Past.
That's okay. I'm just going to completely ignore that for now because Demon's Souls is just occupying so much of my brain right now.
I just had to interject there.
All right. So I can't get past the first area, okay? This is like the tutorial mode where, like, there's leveling in this game. I can't get past the first area that you have to pass before they let you level, okay? That's how brutal this thing is. There's like, this one part, right? Like, you get these, like, healing items, right? And that's all you can basically afford because you're at the beginning of the game. And I started out, right? I had, like, 13 of them, right? I got down to, like, 5. I got killed, right? And then you start over, right? But you have the same number of stuff, right? So I'm facing this same thing that I faced in the previous game, some of them, where I have, like, this consistently shrinking pile of resources that no matter what I do just keeps on getting smaller and smaller. So not only, right, do I feel just crushed, but the level of crushingness just increases the more I play. Like, I think that if I'm going to give this game a chance at all, I'm going to have to just start over.
Do you think that the metagame there, how to beat that game, is actually figuring out how to break into the code and change it so that you can make it easier?
I don't know. It might be. But at the same time, now here's the really, really confounding thing about this game is that at the same time that it's mercilessly crushing you and compressing you into the ground, it has some really, really bizarre, really cool features that no one's ever done in a game ever before. And here's how it works, right? So it's a one-player game, right? But at the same time, there's a server, and you actually transmit information about your position and what you're doing to the game to the server, and it shoots it back to you. So while you're playing, you can actually see silhouettes of other people from time to time who are actually playing in the same area that you are. You can't see what, like, enemies they're fighting, but you can see them move around and such. So,
what benefit does this provide to the player?
Voyeurism.
Spookiness. Mystery. That's not all.
Does it allow you to dress up your character in different ways?
It goes farther.
Is everybody still in the starting area?
So that might be.
It's just an ever-growing group of people in the first
it's
stage.
It's possible.
It's just like Animal Crossing.
It's very crowded there.
Does it keep their dead bodies on the ground? Because then I imagine you couldn't walk around.
Almost as good. Here's what happens. When you die, you leave behind this blood stain, okay, which happens to everybody, and you can see other people's blood stains that have been left there. So you can see the positions where everybody has died. Not only that, if you go up and touch somebody's blood stain who's not yours, you can actually see a replay of their actions over the past 10 seconds before they died. So if you go up to a part where there's, like, this big bad boss or this guy where everyone's dying, you'll just see a mess of blood stains there. Like, there's this one part in the beginning of the game.
Is there an explanation of why you have this psychic power?
It's just, no, Japanese people don't need explanations. See, that's the beauty of their games. They don't need to justify all this stuff. It's just there.
Why is he rolling up that big ball of stuff?
Yeah, see, who cares?
This game sucks.
So it goes even farther. There's more, right? So in addition to all this other stuff, you can, at any time, you can press the select button and leave a note, which it'll apply like a special icon on the ground right where you're standing, and you can leave a message for other people to read. And other people can do
this. Like an SOS in a bottle?
And you can see their notes.
I think it's more like Facebook meets Zelda.
It's kind of like that.
It's like a community-based action RPG puzzle solving. So like if it wasn't
where everyone's
insanely
anonymous,
difficult, then there'd be no way for the game to last more than an hour? Is that like, do you think that's a...
I don't know. So, I think that they actually intended people, and they just figured that people would have patience to get to muddle through this.
So what I'm curious about is, what do you actually do in the game? Because all I know is there's people walking around, and it's really hard, but do you...
Well, I don't know yet, because I haven't gotten past the first level.
Well, but how? How is it that you did an enemy defeat you?
Because
you
could defeat... there are enemies in the game, believe it or not.
Do you have a sword that, like, when you press a button, you swing a sword and attack him? Or is it menu-based RPG fighting?
No, it's action, right? So you can swing, you can have an item on your right arm and your left arm, you can have a shield.
What's
and
so difficult about it? Is it that the first enemy isn't the sort of thing that you just defeat like a jelly?
It's just unrelenting. See, here's the difference between the way they do mechanics and other games do mechanics. In other games, they're like, we'll introduce this mechanic to you, and you'll have, you know, basically about 3/4 of the game before you're actually required to master it. You know, so they kind of like, they're very gradual with that. In this game, it's like, here's a mechanic, master it now or die. That's it.
And they mean that literally.
And they mean it literally. Like, as soon as they told me how to use, like, the parry mechanic, it's like the next enemy that came up, like, if I didn't use it on him, like, he would kill me.
And you really haven't gotten past the first level.
The first level, man.
Why didn't you tell you? I've got the game. I'm already on level 5.
It seems absurd that it's an action game, though. Like, this like crowdsourced puzzle solving integrated into the game.
Yeah, well,
is phenomenal and beautiful.
It is interesting.
But why is it in an action game?
It's all real time, right? So like when you pause it, it doesn't even pause anything, right? So to make because just because, right?
So on the screen, does it just say unpaused?
No, it brings up the subscreen, but then like. You realize that nothing is paused, and so if anyone's if anyone's attacking you, exactly. Okay, there's actually even more to this. Okay, I haven't actually gotten to this part, but I hear things, right? So apparently, what other
Danny
people
Baranowski,
can do,
by the way,
we all love
me
him
too
in our special ways. So there's two other things you can do, which are absolutely crazy. Okay, one of them is that you can somehow ask other people to enter your game. And you can enlist their help to defeat enemies. Okay,
they can also kill you too, right?
That's the other thing. So there's like a blue shadow, which is the first one. Is what you said is called the black shadow, which is you can decide to forcibly invade someone else's game, and if you kill them, then you get some kind of reward. And so what we found out.
But since everyone sucks, it's really easy to beat them all.
Well, yeah, I think you have to get past the first level to do any of this. But what we found out is that some people are complaining, right? And they're actually disconnecting from the network because they're like, I'm just playing my game, and here comes this guy out of nowhere invading my game, trying to kill me.
But right? apparently the other human players are easier to defeat than the computer.
Well, what happens is when you invade someone's game, you go in there in a disadvantaged state already, so it's actually harder for you. But I've read four.
Well, that's what I mean. So if they come the humans are already not as good as the computers because, as you said, you suck. And then you're also disadvantaged. So what does it matter? They're just going to defeat you.
It's crazy. But the funny thing is that people – I've read forum messages where people are complaining about, you people who are disconnecting from the network, like you should just leave it on and be a man and like play the game as it was intended. And you get this like really interesting dichotomy because – it actually, like on the face of it, it really does seem unfair for someone to be able to just invade your game and to crush you when you're trying to do something
else. That's part of the game, man.
But you have to love a developer that encourages griefing.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing is that all these devices, right, it seems like they're actually there to promote griefing, like messages.
Yeah.
Like people will put in a message like, oh, you're about to die. There's going to be a trap here. And there's nothing there.
You suck, Sores.
Right? And then so like someone else put up a message saying like, beware of false messages.
Press
right?
the reset button to get free gold.
I'm wondering like culturally like how this game was played in Japan because I don't have a lot of direct experience, but I don't know. Just something just tells me that.
I don't know. Compulsively?
You leave a note to bait them and then as they get the note you come up behind them and just chop their head off?
Well, it's not that direct. It's not that direct. You have a special item to invade someone's and there's a cost to everything, so it's kind of complicated.
All right, well, we are going to break. I hope you, dear listener, are preparing for some more raping. We'll be right back.
Good time.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We've got our special guests here, Adam Atomic and Danny Baranowski. And we have housekeeping... and a caller.
Housekeeping. Oh, sponsors.
So you may tackle those in your preferred order.
We love to talk about the sponsors. UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. They love their students doing work, writing programs.
So this is what Demon's Souls felt like. Like this music. And then just imagine like a sledgehammer pounding me into the ground. That's exactly what it was like.
Pound me to the Demon ground. Souls. Demon Souls gets right in there, into the soul, and just bangs away. And you and all the bloody refuse on the ground. There was a South Park recently about Chipotle and blood out of the butt.
I heard about this.
And this is what... And I'm linking that to the raping and the...
And Chipotle issues a statement apparently saying, no, Chipotle does not do that. It's South Park.
Did they do that?
Someone got an email from Chipotle saying that, yeah.
That's fine. Well,
this,
We hope you enjoy the smooth jazz of Demon Souls coming at you from behind.
And in front.
Yes.
And from the sides.
All right.
And above and below.
So let's take down the house lights and the music.
Really, like, all six directions.
Dude, I was so I ran out of the room and I said to Norm, our audio guy, I was like, hey, Norm, can you play some porn music when we come back to get into the whole raping scene? And, like, he got the sparkle in his eye and the smile on his face, like, because he started looking for this music.
Because pornography is synonymous with rape.
It was awesome.
Mom, this isn't this kind of show, I promise.
I love to see Norm happy.
Look, we can't use the 7 words, so we have to use the 50 other ones.
As Ara mentioned, we've got Adam Atomic and Danny Baranowski, who doesn't hide behind a fake name. Of course not.
Danny B.
That's okay.
I just truncate it.
Now, we've also got a caller. Joe from Pittsburgh is on the line. Let's take him. And if he wants to talk to these guys, cool. If he wants to talk about something else, no. That's, is that how we're going to go?
No, it's cool, too.
No matter what.
Well, if we don't like what he says, then we can yell at him.
Okay, that's cool. Well, Joe, you are on the air, sir.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
What's up, Joe?
Real quick. First off, Demon Souls is awesome.
Totally awesome.
Wait, have you gotten past the first level?
Yes.
Oh!
Give him the secret. How do you do it?
Game Shark.
What character class did you use?
I'm a knight.
Okay. All right. All right.
Now, the boss in the tutorial, he crushed me.
Yeah, he kicked my butt too, and I thought that was supposed to happen since the cinematic happened afterwards.
There's videos on YouTube of people owning that thing, and I don't know how that's possible.
Hacking?
Okay. So how did you do it?
Or they're Japanese.
Well, the boss of the first level that you're actually in, like where the game starts, it's like thing with all those spears. If you just get the little fire, those little fire things you can throw, you can kill them in like 5 or 6 hits.
Oh, sounds easy, dude.
Clearly. Okay, I can't even get back to the boss. You realize this? I can't even do that anymore. I lost all my bus change, and I can't find my way to the
station. This is one of those situations where you get through it the first time, no sweat, and then every time since that you try, you just fail and fail and fail.
But trust me, it gets like a million times harder after that. Dragon just comes running on this bridge, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. This looks pretty. And this dragon just comes flying out of nowhere and just torches the entire bridge and I'm dead.
I know you can't see it, but Ara right now is weeping.
I'm crying on the inside.
So you're saying playing this game...
And the outside.
Playing this game is kind of like you're a worm, and there's just a bunch of children out there trying to kill you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do.
Hey, Ara, just summon me, man, and I'll come in. I'll clear house for you, man. Okay.
He's going to grief you, dude. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's going
to
take you out.
I don't even have the thing to do that. I'm not even past that part yet. I'm not even past the training.
You'll get there.
I really hope so.
But what I really wanted to complain about...
Oh, is that well, we'll turn you off right now.
Oh, not you guys.
No.
You guys are awesome.
We enjoy complaints.
Excellent. Okay, well, proceed.
Me and my buddy Andrew, we play NHL 10 online, and you get this little team mode. You build a team, make your player, take them online, and level them up as you play games.
Not impressed so far.
You can get different sticks and all this other equipment for your player, but to get the good stuff, you can earn it, which is a joke, or of course buy it for anywhere from 80 to like 300 Microsoft points.
Okay.
But they might as well just charge you for it and just say, yeah, we want a nickel and dime you, because the way to earn it. Any of this stuff is impossible. It's like play 3 seasons of Be a Pro mode, you know, and earn this stat. Like, by the time you did any of this stuff, next year's game would be out.
That sounds like incentive to spend the money.
I think that they're trying to train you so that you'll just be, oh, I'm just going to buy it with Microsoft points and spend money instead. And then later, that's all you can do. And then you won't be bothered.
I want to get to the important point. You're saying that the stick that you use in the hockey game actually affects your game?
It will. Like, they give it, like, little boost slots, right? And then you get the 3 boost slots. And then
Do you put materia in it?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
now you've got to get like Mimic that. On your stick.
Yeah.
So you can shoot 2 goals like at that. Once.
4 cloned Knights of the Round and you're gold. You'll beat the Flyers and everything.
No, see, this is a problem to me because now your NHL game has become an action RPG or a sports RPG. Do you remember that F1 racing sports game or F1 racing RPG for the TurboGrafx?
No.
Okay, well, there was one.
But I do remember Baseball Simulator 2000 or whatever. 1000?
Were we the manager or something?
No, you got, like, flaming balls and, like, power-ups.
I've got flaming balls.
Stuff like that.
We should have AC/DC clip playing now.
Yeah.
Why? See, I've got these ideas in my head, but I have no soundboard.
Well,
who's got big balls? That's a song, right? I've got big balls. No?
All right. Anything else, Joe?
This is a song. It plays on radio.
One game design question for you, Ara.
I'll try. But we also have another game designer here, so maybe he can tell me I'm full of ass.
And I know you guys aren't sports gamers, but in this little Be a Pro mode, you can have up to 6-on-6, you know, people versus people.
Get that music playing, Norm. Don't know.
But sometimes you will have like a computer player in there, right?
Okay.
The AI that they made for these computer players is so stupid. I've literally seen it just shoot the puck in its own net.
Okay.
Why, as designers, would they do this?
They ran out of time.
Yeah, AI is one of the hardest things to put into your game.
They had to ship the game, and they're like, oh, it looks like it's all right. It's not an A bug. We'll ship it. That's what they did, I bet.
Who doesn't want to play with their friends anyway?
Well, sometimes people quit out, or they'll score like these cheesy glitch goals, and it just gets so frustrating.
Right. I mean, usually with game AI, it's easier to make perfect AI. That's like step one of making AI.
Oh, yeah, but nobody wants
AI
that.
AI that plays the ultimate game all the time, and it's totally miserable, so then you have to go through and stupidify your AI, right? And then you run out of time.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, there's,
so, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to speculate.
If you ever get into gaming academia, you'll hear all these stories about the incredible, complex, like, neurosynthesis systems that people developed
but never actually put into implementation. The other thing that pisses me off is that that word is thrown around like it's an explanation for all enemy behavior and computer behavior in games, and so like thereby all of such things have to be really complex, and they really don't. Like, enemy behavior does not have to necessarily exhibit AI characteristics for it to be interesting or good to any degree, and yet we just use this word collectively.
The other thing with this game, though, is say you're just playing the computer offline. The computer never does this stuff. It's only when you're
online. Oh, interesting. I don't know.
Well, then, they just wanted to piss you off.
What do you think, Adam?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible it could have been different chunks of the studio that were – they may have split up the online and the offline production
into
two different teams.
They gave the online enemy behavior to the intern.
Or they didn't want to give them good behavior because, like, you might – be good or you might suck ass, right? And they don't want to give a player that makes your team significantly better than the opponent you're playing, which is also human. But if it's really as bad as you're saying, then, you know, it sounds like they didn't even give you
it may be a minor problem with the way they decide what level of AI to sub into your team live in the middle of a match.
Yeah.
Like developers have made bigger mistakes than that. Like, Fat Princess launched with automatically finding the server with the highest ping instead of the lowest ping in their match ranking, right? Like,
really?
You know, it's
turn-based gaming.
That's awesome.
They patched that pretty quick, but that was the original ship.
That's hilarious.
I do have to say that in general, when people notice really obvious mistakes or problems in games, there's usually a tendency to just assume that, like, you know, like, oh, like, how could they be so stupid to do it this way, right?
Yeah.
But usually, like, there's just so many, like, just logistical and confounding factors that oftentimes, like, the people who made the game, like, they're very, very well aware of all of these problems and these shortcomings, and it's just, I don't know, I mean, like, a lot of times it's for a lot of different reasons, but sometimes it's just we just couldn't get to it in time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and in EA's case in particular, it is an absolute miracle that they've ever produced any game ever, much less multiple games on an annual basis. Like, the size of the company, the amount of bureaucracy, and the number of forms that have to be filled out, and the number of people who are involved in okaying things is mind-boggling. You cannot comprehend it unless you've actually worked in that environment, even for a brief time, even as an outsider.
Just think of From Software. The red tape behind raping your customers has got to be just hugely
probably
long.
Actually, in Japan is much less of a problem because they have clear levels of seniority and hierarchy and who gets to make the calls and who makes the shots.
I heard about that. I heard about that. And people don't get pissed off. They just sit in their cubicle and work.
All right. Well, Joe, we're going to hang up on your ass. We'll be right back after this to actually talk to Adam Atomic and Gary Baranowski. Gary. Danny Baranowski.
I'm Gary.
We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about what we do. We've got a live chat going on right now with Josh on the keyboards as Chatterboxer123, the famous Chatterboxer123. What are they talking about in there, Josh?
Well, nothing really. I'm actually pretty disappointed about the chatter in the chat room right now.
So they're talking about Itagaki being a big, dumb person
or something? It's really bad. So I'd like to, it's a call to arms right now for the chat room. So please entertain me. I don't have headphones.
All right. You can't hear us in this room because you don't have headphones? Is that what you're worried about?
Well, I couldn't hear that entire last segment with the guy on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the phoners make it tough. All right. Well, anyway, we've got half a show left, so we might as well use it. Adam and not Gary are
the anti Gary.
Yeah, are here in the studio. And really, I wasn't. I mean, it was all.
Let's talk to Adam.
All Aura that made this happen.
Well, so. I mean, okay, sure.
So take it away. We saw Danny this weekend at the Tig Jam.
So
I didn't even know that Adam was there or who he was.
Well, now you know he's here and who
he was only there for free.
And
food,
you don't know
though.
Who he is, but why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do and some of the games you made and all that good stuff.
Cool. I'm Adam, quote unquote, Atomic Saltzman. And I think I'm more well known for Flash games, I guess, than for anything else. I made a game called Gravity Hook and a game called Fathom and a game called Cannibal.
Gravity Hook.
Yeah. Gravity Hook's kind of mean, but it's still okay.
Typing away, trying
Danny
to find
Danny did the music though. For all of those, by the way.
Are you the one where like you just weren't going to have any music in anything, and Danny's all like, hey, let me make the music for this, and you're all like, shut up, dick, and then you're all like, no, I'm going
to
do it.
I started my career by swearing at Adam Atomic.
Yeah, and forcing me to put music in.
Oh, but if you search on the Googles, it says Gravity Hook by Adam Atomic and Darry Baranowski. Did I say it again? Did I say dairy?
I said dairy that time.
Man.
I'm lactose intolerant.
It's the man with the more.
Yeah, it's funny. So I was just listening to the How Stuff Works podcast, and yesterday I listened to How Come We Can't Say Toy Boat very easily or quickly.
Toy
and
Boat?
So I'm totally fumbling.
I just said it.
Being a show host, that it's bad news.
Maybe you shouldn't drink so much next time.
Toy Boat. Right, so Not Gary. It's Gravity Hook by Adam Atomic and Not Gary right there on the Googles. So
yeah.
That's a big credit. And just for music.
Around.
Who cares about music and games?
Yeah. No, I care way maybe too much about music and games. Like, all the games that I loved as a kid are mostly bad games that have really good music.
Goonies 2?
Sometimes they're actually good games.
So, I want to hear what some of these are.
Journey to Silius is going to be way at the top of the list. It's like all of the worst parts of Mega Man and Contra put together in one game that was Terminator...
Yeah,
license,
I think
and
I
then the Terminator license was revoked halfway through production, and there's this like really bad story kind of smashed down onto the top of the game, but the music is amazing. It's doing this, Sunsoft did this NES sound stuff that was way beyond what most other people were doing. So this is the sound team that did like Blaster Master and Batman for NES and a whole bunch of other stuff.
That's good
but,
stuff.
Yeah, it's
I don't think
phenomenal.
I actually played that game. I do remember seeing a screenshot and then... I'm not going to get that.
Tell me again the name of this game and what system it's on.
It's Journey to Silius for the NES. Phenomenal music.
And it looks like Terminator?
Yes. It has enemies in it based on concepts that weren't used until Terminator 3.
Nice.
So there are robots from Terminator 3 that are in this Nintendo game from the late 80s or
But your character, 90s. Your character, if I can recall, doesn't he look quite cute? Is that another
His
game?
Helmet was literally replaced with orange hair.
That's it.
Like,
because
he starts
it.
Out as,
yes.
like, a Marine. He's like, you're like John Connor in the future shooting robots. But now he's like, he has this, like massive Conan O'Brien, like,
sweet.
Thing going on. It's
okay,
preposterous.
So anything else?
Heavy Barrel for NES is, like, a very mediocre port of the arcade game.
Oh,
sort
yeah,
of based
yeah.
on Commando.
Yeah.
Really cool music.
That wasn't Sunsoft 2, was it?
That was Data East.
Data East, no. Very correct, yes.
Yeah. But a lot of Sega games that were just strange games and had that bizarre FM synthesizer chip and ended up making wonderful music.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have to say that Batman on the Genesis did make me want to touch myself. It's true.
Really?
It's true. Oh, yes.
The Genesis is a weird beast because
and the music specifically.
It actually changed its sound chip from unit to unit, right?
Did
there was the Genesis 1, And then you get over to the Genesis 2, and different sound check.
I was under the impression it was FM the entire time. It's the same kind of technology that was in the Yamaha DX7, which was like the keyboard of the 80s and 90s.
Well, Wikipedia, when you get this some time, and it, I mean, obviously the music kept going. It was the same machine, and people didn't notice, but there was some sort of different chip or different way.
I mean,
they
changed producers. So like the guys who now go by Radica are the ones who did the Genesis 2 and Genesis 3 hardware. They're the guys who make the controller with Streets of Rage on it thing. Like those guys are the guys that made
the
later model.
Well, then it
Sega
makes sense
Genesis
that they might have changed the hardware. And on Wikipedia, it actually shows
they put it on a single chip. There's like a single IC that has all the
There's
stuff
a clip
on
from
it.
Like Streets of Rage or something where they play a few seconds of music of one game played on the Genesis 1 versus the same game played on the Genesis 2, and it sounds different. Honestly, I thought the second one sounded better, but it's supposedly not as good. So
weird. If it's newer, it's definitely not as good.
Wikipedia that noise. All right.
Anyway,
so
yeah, I worship game music. I think it's way, way, way important. And
so is that why you weren't going to include any in your game?
it was just a flash game. Like that was the thing, right? It's like
just a flash game.
Yeah, it's just a flash game. It doesn't need anything special. And it was more like I didn't have anything in particular in mind. And a lot of people like to listen to their own music while they play flash games. And they want a mute button anyway. And it was like, well, whatever. I'm not going to bother because I'd made a small flash game before that and made all the music for it myself. And it
must
was
have sucked compared to not Gary's music.
It was not as good, that's for sure.
You know, it's funny. A sage of Flash game production this weekend told me that there's a difference between Flash games and games made in Flash.
Yeah,
he's heard this.
A word I can't say on the radio. No, really? I mean, like, Flash games get, like, a bad rap, but, I mean, lots of stuff does and whatever.
Well, he made his game in Flash. And so I said there's a difference between Flash games and games made in Flash.
Is the difference, like, the amount of a snob you are?
I don't know.
It's kind of like comic books and graphic novels, I think.
This, of course, was in a room with a lot of paintings of monstrous phallus all over the place.
Well,
so they may have affected his mood.
It's really not this kind of show, Mom. I promise.
It's going to continue to be that way for the next 20 minutes.
All right, so back to Rated G. So why do you think that music is so important in games?
It's sort of, I mean, I like to think of it, I guess, as sort of a secret weapon. It's like a thing that's always there, and it's always communicating to the player something that you maybe can't get across in the visuals or the interaction. It's this, you know, it's the third leg of your video game stool. Like, if it's not there, it's just going to tip over, and you're ruined.
I just heard video game stool.
No, that's an interesting point. Now, I remember once, I'm not going to say who it was, but somebody used to say that.
It was me.
No, it's not you. That video game music was 50% of the game, ostensibly because,
at least,
like you are using, you know, well, you're seeing and hearing, right?
Yeah.
And then years later, I heard him say the same thing, except. Disappointingly, he had backpedaled and said it was a third of the game.
I would go like 60-65%. So, like my example that I like to, or my thought experiment that I like to put out is how many you know, films or animations or scenes have been improved and in a remarkable way by the addition of music, but then like it's like all movies ever, right? Like by being scored, they're more emotionally impactful. They're, you know, much more interesting to watch. But what about the reverse situation? Is there ever been a time when there's been a song that was improved by the addition of video?
Thriller.
Or the Thriller potentially, like that Daft Punk album with like the anime film that accompanied it. Like they made a whole anime film for one of the Daft Punk albums, and it like definitely makes the music better. But it seems like there's very, very few examples of video ever improving audio.
That's why I never listen to Daft Punk, because I just don't have the video screen in front of me.
Yeah, there's a cornucopia of – there's like an unlimited number of examples of audio improving, you know, video presentation.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, at least to me, like, the relationship is not clear. You know, it's like – it's not something that you can just, like, sum up and get 100%. You know, it's really, like, things that you can perceive, you know, with your ears. It's just, like – it's just a completely different – dimension of, you know, like you said, communication, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
I think what happened way back in the day, though, is that it was perceived that video game music was not important, like in the early days.
Right.
So there is a lot of wonderful, brilliant music from back in that day, but I think a big part of why there's kind of a stigma against video game music in general is that a lot of it was awful. I'd say most of it back in the day was awful.
Yeah, which is really unfair because most of anything is awful.
Sure, but, you know, most...
I mean, really.
90% of everything is crap, right?
You hear that, ladies?
Game music is kind of like, by definition, ancillary to games, but... You know, it's not, it's its own tightly
interwoven. Like, all of my favorite games forever have had amazing soundtracks. Rocket Knight Adventures, Streets of Rage 2.
Does Rocket Knight Adventures involve some sort of dog?
No, it's a possum.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter because the music will melt your brain and keep you completely addicted forever. Even that's at least a good game underneath its music.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we'll be back to hear about Danny's game that he didn't talk about last week or 2 weeks ago.
And other stuff. And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We've got Adam Atomic and Danny Baranowski.
And Josh in chat.
And Josh and Rich, and we're all here.
Chatterboxer 123. All right. So we're going to get back to all of the wonderful action after I mention the University of Advanced Technology and their website, uat.edu, where you can learn more about them. They don't educate about the raping in games. They make only gentle games.
Because that would be bad.
Yeah. Okay. So we heard that Adam and not Gary's mom, both in chat. Well, not the same mother, two different people, both in the chat right now, right? Listening
all kinds of moms.
Just, that's awesome.
And my mom's maiden name is actually not Baranowski.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
So that's
you're not Gary.
I think it's a Chatterbox record for moms in the chat room.
That's certainly for sure.
Okay. So let's just get right into it, right? Let's talk about what you were here to talk about, which is
Super Meat Boy.
Yes.
Super Meat Boy, and Cannibal.
I'm excited about Super Meat Boy because it's definitely my gateway to somehow coming up with a way to inject mentioning of MILFs into this episode.
Really?
Yes.
That's a big loop to close,
with that.
Man.
No, I'll be able to do it. Super Meat Boy.
Let's do Super Meat Boy. Let's talk about it a little bit.
Let's do that a little bit, and then we can do the Cannibal.
Not your game, though.
Not my game.
But Danny's game.
I got to play it when I got to TIG Jam late yesterday. No, Sunday. And played almost everything that they have built for it so far. And it's, like, brutally, compulsively addicting. Like, this is... do you guys know Poyo?
Yeah.
Like chicken?
Poyo Poyo.
No, not
Poyo Poyo.
Not Puyo Puyo. Poyo.
Oh.
Poyo's is amazing indie platformer by this guy, Lazriel. But Meat Boy definitely is playing in the same kind of space. There are these compact levels. And there's any given level, you have maybe 8 or 10 perfectly timed jumps that you have to pull off over innumerable giant buzzsaws that stand between you and Bandage Girl, who's no longer called Band-Aid Girl.
Okay.
She was Band-Aid Girl, but now she is Bandage Girl.
So it's a platformer. Is that a fair characterization?
It's a wonderful platformer. Like the platformer, it's the Mega Man only better kind of a thing. Mega Man is a perfect example of good
the,
game
the music
and an awful game. Completely.
Yes, really?
Thank you.
Except for number two. Come on, number two.
Every Mega Man game is terrible.
Dude,
really?
Everybody says Mega Man's awesome. And I'm like,
they have beautiful
really not that
artwork.
Much fun.
Like the guys at Capcom were pushing the NES palettes more than almost anybody.
Yeah.
In the whole generation, their music is all completely wonderful.
Okay, so this is interesting. So what do you think is terrible about Mega Man?
They're 100% pure vicious mean memorizers.
That's a fair criticism.
For me, it would be easier to write a computer program that would learn to play Mega Man by trial and error than for me to actually learn to play Mega Man by trial and error.
So that is actually probably the fairest criticism that you could.
I think it's worth bringing up because Meat Boy is a vicious hard platformer that's not vicious hard that way.
No shooting.
It's about just learning the skills, applying them in a constantly. There's going to be like 250 levels in this game. you know, every level has a new crazy jump or a new kind of technique that you have to do using the same super limited, like the controls are Super Mario controls.
Does it force you to use a skill that you had just learned immediately?
You don't learn actual skills.
There's just jumping.
Okay.
Like, that's it. There's just jumping.
I was just trying to relate it there to the beginning of the show. You see what I was doing there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mega Man was like Demon Souls training mode to me. Okay. So, just to give you a little perspective there.
Yeah.
So, who's the gentleman that makes the Super Meat Boy game?
So, Super Meat Boy is made by Ed McMillan and John McEntee and Danny Baranowski. Super Meat Boy is made primarily by Ed McMillan and Tommy Refinez and Danny Baranowski. So Danny's remixing all of the music into multiple forms.
There's going to be a retro Nintendo era style version of every song in the soundtrack, which is just, it's the most fun thing to ever do, is make chiptune demakes of your own music.
Now, when you're writing...
And high-res remakes, too.
Yeah.
When you're writing the music for that game, do you think of like how can I make this music like make the player recall visions of slabs of meat?
No. that I think is pretty much taken care of by the aesthetic of the game, because it's pretty obvious that you're a slab of meat slapping against the walls.
Pretty meaty.
And you kind of leave a blood trail on every surface that you contact and sort of slippy.
Actually, what I was going for is nostalgia primarily, because it seems to be just like a huge tribute to old school gaming. And, you know, given that I was raised with this catchy old Nintendo music, that's kind of what I went for. So everything's real melodic and very strong harmonies and stuff, but it has a modern presentation. So it's kind of a melding of that. And then, you know, the retro versions are actually using the same oscillators and synthesizers that the NES uses. So it's very legitimate. And then there's also, I need to do a Game Boy one, and one for, there's like an Atari level, so.
Cool.
So it's phenomenal. I just sat there and played it for like an hour until I was like shaking out my left thumb because it was sore from working the D-pad for the last like 90 minutes straight.
Nice. That's a good sign.
Instead of talking to all of my friends who I only get to see like twice a year. It was really totally compelling.
Good times. So we do have a caller, and we definitely...
We have very limited time.
Yeah, we have a limited time. So I would say that...
I'm asking Penn what his question is in
the chat. Yes, our caller can only talk
about Cannibalt,
or he can only talk to Adam.
I'm asking him in chat, but since we have so few minutes left, you said that perhaps we could get into some of the underlying elements of Cannibalt and what makes it great.
Well,
so one thing I can
throw out, and this seems to interest people, or people think this is interesting, I think it's kind of interesting, is a lot of people have caught on that Cannibalt, the levels are procedurally generated. So each time you play the game, you are running across different rooftops, or the rooftops are different sizes.
Yes, and
different
stupid
positions.
Breaking in through the window pisses me off.
Yes, and the window thing and all that good stuff. And there are different distances and all that stuff. And a lot of people have come to the conclusion that it's based on distance, which isn't a wild accusation necessarily. The idea is the farther you make it through the city, the harder it gets, is the assumption. So at 1,000 meters, it's going to get harder. At 2,000, it's going to get harder. And it's not actually the way that it's set up. It's all based on how fast you're running. So the generation is done based on your speed. So if you run into a box and you slow down, it's going to generate a different set of gaps and a different set of obstacles than it would if you were still going at a really fast speed. So the faster you go, the longer the gaps get, all that good stuff.
Yeah, and, but the immediate next building already there, and then I hit a box. I'm screwed.
You can usually get away with hitting one box. There's a lot of tuning that goes into that process, so you can hit one box, but if you hit two or three and you don't have enough room to speed up, then you're kind of toast. So there's definitely a lot of kind of balance going on.
Well, I blame that one time that I lost this game without just saying, oh, you know, I've played too far, I'm just going to turn it off. That one time I died, it was bad programming.
definitely.
Yeah.
No, well, then there's I won't even get into it. There's a problem with developing games that are Twitch-based on a chiclet keyboard versus a normal full-press keyboard, because the full-press keyboard has way more lax thresholds for key press timing. So playing Cannibalt on a keyboard that has big, tall, chunky keyboard keys is actually way, way harder than playing it on a laptop keyboard with little chiclet keys, which I didn't know until well after it was kind of out and living its life online.
I like that menu that you have where it just says no mouse, and perhaps the mouse with its very short draw distance would have been a better option.
What?
Well, the mouse button is usually a very small click.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And everybody has a mouse.
Yeah, but that felt kind of weird. I don't know.
Gonna have to try playing on a laptop, I guess.
Is that why you failed? Because you were using a...
You could have also done a mic like Mr. Driller. You're like, jump, large, jump. Oh, yeah. drill, right? Not many people know that Mr. Driller was voice activated on the Dreamcast. At least had the ability.
That's,
Did you know that?
I think that I might have heard it, and then I just, like, erased it from my memory immediately.
Yeah, if you plugged in your C-Man mic and then just said drill or anything,
any sound input whatsoever.
Into a drill.
Yeah.
But that would be fantastic to be, like, hands off totally. Just jump. You could even do that for the iPhone.
All right. So I have, when we were at TIG Jam, we were asking a bunch of people a bunch of questions, mm-hmm. and I decided it would be cool to maybe ask you one or more of some of these questions since we have about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, bring it on as time allows.
So, all right. So here's a two-parter. Can you tell us about something that you really, really like about video games, and I'm using the term vaguely on purpose so you can interpret the context however you like, and something that you really, really dislike about video games?
I love that it's a completely new art form. There are no masters of the form yet. There are a really limited number of... you know, even templates or forms to follow at this point. There's a lot of room to invent new crap. I guess the thing that I would hate the most about it is that people, even though there are so few ways of interpreting it, most of those ways are where the vast majority of all of the work goes. So
can you give us a quick example?
The fact that, like, the top three best-selling games each year are all first-person shooters... I find somewhat distressing, not in a murder simulator kind of way, but just like, really? That's like as good as we, like, all of the everybody's favorite games are World War II shooters, because like it seems like we should be able to do cooler stuff.
Yeah. Modern warfare shooters too.
Yeah.
Modern Warfare 2 shooters.
And meat jumping simulators.
Yes.
So everybody go out and make sure you get Super Meat Boy when it comes out on every console on the planet. We've got to go. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Adam Atomic and Danny Baranowski.
We'll
be back
guys.
Next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.